Like to invite our distinguished speaker, Dr. Professor Kamlesh Jha, sir, from AIIMS Patna. Sir, please come on the stage. And our next eminent speaker, Dr. Ramjem Ji from IIT Mandi. Bhaiji, please come on the stage. So please welcome our distinguished eminent speakers with a big round of applause, please. Yeah. Thank you. When we clap hands, it is like, yeah, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So first, we will sit comfortably in the remembrance of the Supreme Soul. Please sit in few minutes of silence in remembrance of the God. Om Shanti. Now I will request Brahma Kumari sisters to welcome our distinguished speakers. The first topic will be the neurobiological effect of meditation on the brain. Meditation is not just a silent space for escaping the world. Rather, it is transforming for the brain. So please keep on clapping your hands till the sisters are honoring our speakers. It will be refreshing for you. It also revives the brain. Thank you. Thank you so much. And now I will like to introduce our first speaker. As I said, that meditation is not just about escaping the world, it is transforming for the brain as well. If meditation is the music, then instrument is the brain. And for that, I would like to invite Dr. Professor Kamlesh Jha, sir. He is presently serving as Professor of Neurophysiology and Integrative Medicine, AIIMS Patna. With a rich teaching experience and research, he is a great academician for more than 15 years. He is faculty in charge of Neurocognitive and Sleep Unit and member of many reputed institutes, and had led DST and ICMR grant studies on neurophysiology, sleep and mental health. He has a credit of 61 publications, 7 book chapters and edited one book. Collaborates with IIT Patna, NIMHANS and multiple AIIMS departments. So please, again, a big round of applause before he starts his talk. Over to you, Dr. Saab. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. At the outset, I would like to thank you all and the Brahma Kumaris, the Spark Wing, Srikant Bhai. My sincere gratitude for giving me this opportunity to share my views on this neurobiology of meditation and spirituality. This neurobiology of spirituality is a huge topic. I am just an opening batsman for this whole conference, and that privilege I would like to thank again to the institution for giving me this opportunity. And I have been given the responsibility to just give a brief glimpse. We have been told all the time meditation, spirituality, all these things are at the border of science and say the spirituality or the feeling. But then there is a huge science behind it, and I would like to give just a glimpse of it at the outset. The first and foremost thing that we always confuse is between the spirituality and religion. If we go to the roots, spirituality comes from the Latin word spiritus. Spiritus means breath. So breath is not a breathing is not a religious practice. We all breathe. So similarly, when we talk about spirituality, spirituality is nothing but to connecting the self with a bigger self. Just like when you take birth, you start breathing from that very moment. Even before your birth, you are alive, but you are not breathing. So, similarly, when you recognize yourself as a small part of a bigger self, that is the God, Paramatma, nature, whatever you say, then this comes under spirituality. But the word religion comes from the term the ligar. Ligar means to tie up. So, after gaining some consciousness, after gaining some knowledge, we try to wind ourselves up with a particular stream of belief system, and that is religion. So we can say religion is, or religious practices are just a small part of what we say the spirituality. And when you go in the biological perspectives, we say that we are bound to be religious. There are a lot of studies in which people saw that this attitude of being religious or being, say, spiritual is inherent property. There is a seed of spirituality in everyone, and it depends upon us how we nurture it. Before going further, I would like to give you a beautiful example from my study with Sparkwing itself. Some 3 years back, a young guy, 28-year-old, an IIM graduate, visited our AIIMS department with chest pain. So he was having acute chest pain. In mid of the night, he was brought by his relatives. Initially, we thought of having myocardial infarction. He had been done all the follow-ups and everything. Finally, he landed up to psychiatric clinic because all the parameters were within normal limits. And later on, he was diagnosed having panic disorder. Now, the psychiatrist started treatment. A lot of treatment have been given. The compliance was poor. There was a lot of side effects. And that guy, the IIM graduate, when he visited us some 1 year before, he was earning more than 1.5 crore per annum. But he left the job because of his anxiety issues and all. He was homebound. The people were very frustrated at his house. He visited and he got anti-psychiatric treatment. But there was very poor compliance. Later on, we had one project on panic disorder that time with Sparkwing of Brahma Kumari itself. So, and Ramjam Bhai is here. He was one of the contributors in that. We developed a protocol and we started the management with simple, the philosophy of Raj Yoga. The self, the third person perspectives, and the theory of body and mind and all. And believe me, within 1 year, he was able to join his job. And as of date, he is still connected and he is well settled. So this is just a glimpse of an index case of our study on panic disorder at AIIMS Patna. So, so if I go on the biological perspective, because that is my responsibility today to talk a little about it. So basically we see there are three key concepts. One is the sympathovagal balance. We have a sympathetic nervous system, we have a parasympathetic nervous system, and this is a part of autonomic nervous system. So there is two kind of environment. One environment within us, one environment outside us. So if something is connecting outside environment to us, is our somatic nervous system, like our sensation, our feelings, pain, temperature, pressure, all. Then there is another system that is within us, like your body temperature, your blood pressure. These cannot be sensed by those sensors. So we have another nervous system that is called autonomic nervous system. And this autonomic nervous system has got two components, sympathetic and parasympathetic. Sympathetic keeps us ready for fight and flight, and parasympathetic keeps us ready for rest and digest. So we call it a system of rest and digest and system of fight and flight. And there is an optimal balance, that is we call sympathovagal balance. This is one component that governs our day-to-day, how we behave, how we feel. Second thing is, next slide. Before going further, second thing is the emotion. So we have a proper recognized emotional circuit in our brain. And if we see, this sympathovagal system interacts with the emotional circuit. And if you see this beautiful picture, you will see that there are three pictures: parasympathetic nervous system, sympathetic state, and a neutral state. So when we are in parasympathetic state, brain takes care of your body. Brain is in the leading or in the pilot position. So we are able to think rationally. We are able to think or to work rationally. So you see there is a bigger brain and a smaller body. That means brain is taking over your body. If you see the red one, the sympathetic one, so here there's just opposite is the case. Your body takes lead and your brain is under its influence. So if you are in anger state, if you are stressed, your thought process gets blocked. You are not able to think rationally. You are not able to act rationally. So the sympathovagal system is also linked with your emotional system, although there is a different circuit. So now talking about a system which is the system of various brain circuits that actually governs our thought processes. So there are three very important aspects that I would like to highlight today. There are a lot of, it is a big topic, but just to give you a glimpse. So there is something called mirror neuron. These mirror neurons are, suppose when I talk to you, you have a basic understanding of the things. But you think of a newborn baby. A baby who is just born, they don't know anything, they don't know any language, but within 1 year, they start speaking our language. How this happens? So they don't have a rational thinking. They have something called mirror neuron, and this mirror neuron just imitates. So we learn by imitation, and it is also called emotional contagion. So if we see something, if we see some cereal, and if someone is crying in, we also feel as if I am sad. So this mirror neuron has got a very important place when we talk about the neurobiology. Second is our amygdala. Amygdala is a place where our emotion gets coded. So emotion gets its meaning. So whenever we are in angry state, our amygdala takes over our rational brain and it cut off all the signals going to your rational brain. So we don't understand what to do and what not to do. But if amygdala is under control, then things are a little different. So now talking about the meditative brain and how we control it. The most powerful tool for us is our breathing. With your breathing, you can control your autonomic nervous system. You can control your heart rate. Just few slow breaths, you can control your heart rate. Not only that, all those circuits can be controlled just by a controlled or meditative breathing practices. So then there is something called default mode network. When we are sitting idle, our brain goes in default mode. So when we go in other mode, that is called task positive network. So we keep on switching between the two all the time. And if our brain is not working properly, then we are not able to switch properly. So we are not, mindful. So this default mode network, this meditative practices has got very powerful impact upon this default mode network. So there are a lot many areas of brain, and I will not go in the detail, but the frontal brain, which doesn't have any specific work, but it is also called the cognitive brain. This is seat of our emotion, meditation, and whatever cognitive processes we are having. So talking a little bit about the neurochemistry of yoga and meditation, just in four words, there are four very powerful hormone systems that help us being a proper emotional being, and that is called DOS: dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphin. You will be hearing these words in next 3 days from various speakers, so I'm not going into the detail. But the seat of spirituality, as I I said, everyone is by birth a spiritual person. So it is the frontal lobe. It not only connects our other brain areas rationally, but also a seat of spirituality and makes us a spiritual person. Then the its own part, the prefrontal cortex, is another very important, and it is important for error detection and monitoring. So in meditative practices, these areas, especially the prefrontal cortex, has got very important role. So I'm not going the detail of this flowchart, neurobiology of meditation, because of the time constraint. So that take home message is, stresses will be there. You cannot have a control over it. But it is you who decide how to react with it, and that is in our hand. So little breathing practices, little meditative practices, little mindfulness can change the world, because it can change you. Thank you.
Om Shanti, thank you so much for such an insightful perspective and instilling this wisdom in us also. So aap sabko dose to mila? Mila? Kal sham ko meditation kiya, aaj subah kiya, aur abhi uska effect jana. So now I will like to invite our Brahma Kumari sisters to give a token of respect, a token of gratitude to our respected Dr. Kamlesh Jha sir. Aur aage badhate hain is kadi ko. Abhi humne samjha hai ki neurobiology effect kya hota hai. But we are living in an era of evidence. This is an evidence-based era. Hai na, science ko to experiment chahiye aur evidence chahiye. So at Spark, we are here for the Spark conference. But Spark believes for now. Now we will invite our Brahma Kumari sister to give saugat and honor Dr. Professor Kamlesh Jha. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for such insightful perspective and instilling the wisdom in us. Thank you. Thank you, Didi. Thank you so much. So the Spark believes that knowledge has its benefit only if it uplifts the soul. And carrying this perspective and practicing all these things and doing research, we are here with another distinguished speaker, Dr. Professor Ramjem Ji Bhai Ji. He is a medical graduate with a joint PhD in psychiatry and yoga from NIMHANS, and has extensive research on psychiatry patients using yoga interventions. He is a core group member of Spark Brahma Kumaris and managing Raj Yoga research projects across India. And he is presently faculty at IIT Mandi, leading work at the Indian Knowledge System and Mental Health Application Center. He was a former scientist at NIMHANS Center for Consciousness Study and published numerous high-impact international neuroscience articles and practicing Raj Yoga since 2004. So we invite Dr. Ramjan Ji, who has been bridging modern neuroscience and ancient wisdom, transforming mental health through science and spirituality. Over to you, Brother Ramjan Bhai Ji.
Thank you very much, Dr. Kirti. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Thank you. So what I'm going to do in the next 10 to 12 minutes is, 20 years of research I'm just going to compress in a small nutshell. So how much you are going to be attentive to take those 20 years message in 10 minutes, it's up to you. So let's start. I'm just going to give you brief bird's eye view of all the kinds of research activities that has happened in the last more than 20 years. Okay. So all these findings we have done with lots of other institutes' collaborations, so that is what you see here, at national and also at international levels. Yes, next. Next, please. Yeah. So the different kinds of research that has been conducted very broadly, you can put under these four headings. One is, how can we explore the spiritual lifestyle in a scientific manner? And then the physiological understanding of different meditative states. Developing some tools for Raj Yoga related assessments and applications of Raj Yoga, both from preventive and also from therapeutic perspective. Yes, next please. So this is one study that was conducted at NIMHANS. I'm just going to give in one line the results of all these things. Previous slide, please. Yeah. So findings of this study is proficient meditators, long-term meditators, they have the capacity to shift their attention seamlessly between a stressful task and a meditative task. And it's an EEG-based study. Yes, next slide, please. Yeah. So this is related to in-depth interview. We use many tools like EEG, fMRI, but many times to capture the experience, interview is considered as one of the best tools, actually. So we have used a technique called as microphenomenology, which is purely based on interview, to understand what kind of experiences these long-term Raja Yoga meditators generally have. So this is still in analysis stage. The next thing is related to early morning meditation. In most of the shastras, it is explained in detail that early morning meditation is very good compared to meditation at some other time points. So this almost, we have finished the data collection. We are collecting data at the early morning 4 to 4:45. And again, the same subjects, we are collecting data in the afternoon also. This is also an EEG study. We'll come with the results in few months. So this is related to digital wellness. And again, this we are trying to do it at a very larger level as a part of PhD project. We are embedding the digital wellness curriculum in the college syllabus itself as one of the course. So it is going to be taught over a period of 6 months, and what are all the different kinds of behavioral changes that we can see, that is the thing that we are looking for in this. Yes, next please. This is related to assessing what are all the different strategies one can use to get into the meditative state. Say for example, some people, they just by listening to music, they go to a higher state of consciousness. Or some people are very good in terms of using some meditation commentary. So in this, we are just trying to compare using a guided commentary compared to that of a lyric-based meditation. So which is easier, or what kind of physiological effects in terms of HRV these two different strategies can bring about. This is what we are seeing. Yes, next please. Next please. So this was a study that was conducted in collaboration with INMAS DRDO. This is a published study. So we have done it with both fMRI as well as with EEG. In both the studies, the results were like both the hemispheres, left hemisphere and also right hemisphere, they were integrated in a better way structurally in terms of DTI, which is a MRI technique, and also in terms of functionally also we can say, which we have assessed with EEG in terms of coherence. Yes, next slide please. This is one of the applications we can say, though the study is actually a physiological study. In general, in depression, the right side of the brain, especially the frontal part, that is considered to be hyperactive. So accordingly, some of the brain waves, particularly alpha, they differ in terms of their intensity or in terms of their power, especially in the front portion of the brain between left and right. Okay. So in this, what we have actually seen is this principle, what we are talking in terms of alpha, is called as alpha asymmetry. So what we have actually found in this EEG study was, whatever we see in major depressive disorder, in depression, exactly opposite to that of we have got in meditation practitioners, which is suggestive of, yes, meditation can be a useful tool as a therapy for depression as well, standalone or along with standard treatments. Yes, next please. This is another interesting study. This study was conducted in collaboration with IISc Bangalore. It's all very well understood that as we age, some of the cognitive functions like attention, planning, decision making, all these things, they come down, they decline, which is called as cognitive decline. So when this cognitive decline happens, some of the brain waves, they also decrease in their intensity. One such brain wave is gamma waves. So that is very common finding in elderly people who are normal otherwise. As a part of the aging process, the gamma waves, they are found to be lesser. So in this study, they have assessed long-term meditators and they found that in long-term meditators, compared to the elderly people who are otherwise non-meditators, they have more amount of gamma waves, which is suggestive of meditation can be a kind of preventive technique to delay the aging process. Yes, next slide, please. This is another study where we have used some of the behavioral scales and also MRI techniques. The findings from this study is long-term meditators, they reported more amount of subjective happiness compared to non-meditators. Not only just in terms of questionnaires, they reported they have more amount of happiness, but those things were reflected even in their MRI scans. Structurally also, the regions that are related to reward and happiness, they were far completely different compared to that of non-meditators. Yes, next slide please. This is another very sophisticated study where we have used both EEG and fMRI simultaneously. So in this study, what we have found is there is something called as microstate, which can be assessed both with EEG and also with fMRI. We have found that long-term Raja Yoga meditators, they were able to stay in a particular mental state which was assessed with this microstate as per their will compared to that of non-meditators. Yes, next slide please. Yes, next. So this is in the process. We are in the second phase of this project where we are developing a scale questionnaire to assess inner powers. If some of you have gone through 7 days course, you would have heard of 8 powers. So how can we assess this scientifically? We have developed a scale and we are about to finish this study. Next, yes. We are also using EEG techniques to develop a proficiency measure. Say for example, if somebody is doing meditation, how good or bad they are doing meditation, we don't have any objective tools to assess. So in this study, we are trying to develop a proficiency measure so that each and every individual, as they practice, they can see for themselves how good or bad they are practicing the meditation. Yes, next slide, please. Next. Yeah. So this we have experimented with spinal cord injury patients, almost 100 patients, not only the patients, but also their caregivers were also taught Raja Yoga meditation. So this is a controlled trial where after 4 weeks of Raja Yoga meditation, these bedridden patients, spinal cord injury patients, they had shown significant improvement in their quality of life compared to that of the patients who did not take this meditation as an intervention. Next slide, please. So this, I think, Dr. Kamlesh Jai, he has explained. That was his study. He was a principal investigator. Next slide. This is another study which is ongoing at AIIMS Patna related to breast cancer. Breast cancer survivors are being taught meditation and we are looking for, is there any change in their quality of life and also some of the chemicals which are important for cell-to-cell communications, which we have written here as cytokines. Is there any change in that? We are also trying to use Raja Yoga as a distance healing technique. What we are doing in this study is in Jindal Hospital, we are just taking newborn babies who have some birth-related problems because of their preterm birth, and we are giving Sakajar good wishes in the name of doing meditation for those kids. Kids are just there in the hospital, but proficient long-term meditators, they are sitting in one place and they are giving good wishes for these kids. And we are seeing, is there any improvement in their medical conditions? Yes, lastly, please. Similar kind of thing we are trying to use in OG, also obstetrics and gynecology. And we have also developed a resilience model which we are testing with college students. This is a pilot study and we are trying to expand this. Yes, next. So these are all the different publications. It's all available for purchase also. If you want to study in detail, you can get the books in the Spark counter and go through. Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for showing all the research published through Spark on Raja Yoga meditation. So this pre-inaugural talk has set the stage for the inaugural session. So let us move towards the next session, inaugural session, with the remembrance of God, with the feeling of gratitude in the heart. Om Shanti. Thank you everyone for your patience hearing and being with us. Thank you for the distinguished speakers again. Om Shanti.